The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. Hey, thanks for listening. And if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right. Whew, man. I put the right thing there. Yeah, well, I guess it didn't work. Looking at the Rumble feed and trying to get everything going right. I thought I had it right there, but maybe I didn't. Anyway, so if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want, you can email me also. If you don't like getting, you don't want to get in the air, you can't. Then all you got to do is email me at info@carm.org, info@carm.org, and we can talk. You know, or just give me an email, I guess. So that would do well, and so I'm going to turn this on. There's so many things to do. Oh, man, I still, even though I quit early, trying to get all the switches done. Sorry about that. Thanks, Laura. You know, Laura, she works with CARM, and she's interesting. Her position has become interesting. She works with SEO, but she kind of keeps Charlie and me in line a little bit in these little bitty things like flip the switch. Forget that switch over there. And so thanks a lot there. I appreciate it. All right. We have some good people, though. We really do. You know, I'm going to say we have some good people. I don't really talk about them very much, the people who help out. We have a guy who helps out in web hosting and development, and his name's Josh, and we've been working with him for a couple of years now. He's a great guy, loves the Lord. And then I've got a guy named Charlie here, Charlie Spine, and I've been working with him. Well, we've known each other since roughly 1980, and he's the guy who got me started in apologetics, and he's on the board of directors of CARM, and I'm looking at his face right now. Even though the filter, the screen is cracking, but it's okay, you know, it's all right. And so he's a great guy, and he's a great help. He does a lot of social media stuff. Then we have Laura, and she does all kinds of stuff with SEO, search engine optimization. She helps out and does some cool things. And we have Ernie, and what Ernie does is work with more technical aspects of certain areas of the social stuff. He's really good that way, and that's good. We have a guy named Dave, Dave Kimball, and he's in Southern California, and he helps with legal aspects, and he runs down certain things. So we have, you know, some good stuff. And my wife, she does stuff I would absolutely hate. She does stuff like call up people, sit on the phone, and listen to them talk while she figures out problems about a bank account or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. And boy, do I hate that. I just don't like it. But she is good at it, and yeah, I'm glad it's her. I'm glad it's her and not me. So, yeah, we have a lot of people helping us out, and may the Lord bless them. All right, hey, let's just jump on the phones here, and let's get to John from Raleigh, North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
You're hard to get a hold of. And are you saying that you got it easy by only talking on the phone an hour a day?
Okay, you know what? I think I remember your email. You emailed me, didn't you?
Yes.
And you want me I remember I highlighted it. I'm going, okay, I got to get back to this. So what I've done, I'm just trying to get myself out from the bad excuse. What I did was I developed a new system for things. And when I have to have notes, I put them in this new thing. And so I developed that after you emailed me. So we do need to talk.
Well, I appreciate it. The info at carm.org is a blessing, because at least we can get you during this hour as opposed to being stacked in like thousands of other emails.
Yeah, well, that is the case. I don't want to say all my email addresses, but we have 139 in the info one, just in that one, 139. And in another one, there's only 25. And then I've got another one I go to, it's 118. And then another one, 518. Another one, my private one, which I don't give out to anybody, has 479. So it's like, oh my goodness. And this is after me deleting about 5,000 at the beginning of the month or last month. Anyway, I'm sorry. Right. Okay. Yeah.
So my question is,
can we
hook up to do the demo on this thing? Because it will save a lot of time if, you know, once you've got it, you just put your words in it and it does the rest. Cool thing I found out is that you can actually, you know, you go through the teaching of the words and it will get your voice. And now the avatar's at a point where you can get the avatar to look like you.
Okay, tell you what. Seriously, email me at info@carn.org. I mean, I'll even call you after the radio show within a half hour. How's that? Okay.
That works. Yeah. 7:30
email me again.
Our time. That should work perfectly.
Hey, email me, okay? And
I'll do that.
Just put it in there, ChatGPT in the thing. I'll look for it. I'll mark it and get your phone number and I'll call you. We'll work on it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
God bless.
All right, you too, man. Thanks. All right. You know, I knew I was forgetting someone when I was sitting with people who help. I knew I was forgetting, like, who is it? I got to get to the calls. I forgot to mention Joanne. Joanne really helps. Joanne's such a sweetie. And she, what she does is really helpful. She runs the prayer ministry, and she comes into Clubhouse, and she manages people there really well. So we have a lot of good people helping us. I just want to make sure I didn't forget Joanne because, seriously, she does great. So we have a lot of good people helping. And I mentioned my wife, and so I won't get an arm hit for not mentioning her. So that's okay. I'm safe there. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Leskman from Ohio. Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, once again, thanks for taking my call, brother. I've got a question for you to settle a score. I got a friend who claims that we are not the bride of Christ, Matt, and he bases his assertion on Revelation. I can't remember the verses, brother, but he says it's twice in Revelation. And he says, we are not to be called the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ.
Okay.
So I wanted your take on that. And I also wanted to say to all of our Ohioans out here, vote yes on issue one. Thanks, Matt. But
okay.
I can take that off the air, brother.
No. I'm trying to find it because I'm searching for the word bride in Revelation. And it comes up, and so I'm looking here. So what I could do is read the context of each one of them, and
awesome.
So I'm not sure what he's getting at. So the first, in the NASB, the first occurrence is in Revelation 18:23, and a lamp will not shine in you any longer, the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. Okay, so that's talking about, I think it's Babylon. Yeah, it's Babylon. Okay, and then Revelation 19:7, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Okay, and he says, blessed are those who invite the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay, and then I'll go on to the next one, which is Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bridegroom adorned for her husband.
That's the one he stands on, Matt, that particular passage there. I know is one of them that he refers to staunchly, as a matter of fact.
With a bride adorned for her husband. So New Jerusalem coming down, made ready as a bride. It didn't say it is the bride. It's just, I think the word is a simile. I don't know if I'm right. Some linguists out there could correct me. But it's just a comparison. That's all. It's like this, you know. It's a bride, ready as a bride is adorned for a husband. It's just drawing a comparison. That's all. It's not saying that's what it is. So if that's what that guy did off that verse, he really blew it. He did.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, not good.
All right, so if I was to get in a conversation with him, I can say we are the body of Christ, as Paul referred to us as.
Okay.
Does that mean, Matt, that we're both? Are we both the bride and the body?
Yes,
we're his
of
representation.
Course. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there doesn't have to be a conflict there or a differentiation between the two. We the Christians can be considered both Christ's body, mm-hmm. as Paul taught the Corinthian church, I believe, as yeah. well as the bride.
Of course. See, we can have numerous okay. titles. We are the elect, the redeemed, the purchased, okay?
Okay,
the bride. We are the church. So, you know, there's lots of ways that we can reference it. We don't want to take one and then say that's the one to the exclusion of the others. All right?
Okay. So, sounds good.
All right, man. Okay, bud.
Thank you so much for your time, Matt. Always a pleasure, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I'm yawning. Oh, one of those days. But thanks, buddy. God bless. Okay, we'll see you.
You too, right. Matt. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, bye. All right, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Ashley. I've got a mm-hmm. question. What do you think about pastors that claim that they're receive direct messages from God from the pulpit to touch the congregation?
I think that's a problem. I think it's a big problem. They claim to get revelation from God? Really?
Yeah, like they hear God's voice speaking to their ears and stuff, or whatever.
Yeah,
I thought they used this verse where it's like, open your mouth and God will fill it.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. You know, I've had that happen so many times where I'm in a situation where I literally have just opened my mouth, not even knowing what I'm going to say, and it just comes out. And I've told my wife that's happened so many times, and she will say to me, you know, I can't believe you said that. I go, I can't either. You know, so that's different than, oh, I heard God's voice. So these people who are saying this, I'd like to cross-examine them lovingly, biblically, and say, what is it that exactly you're hearing? Are you hearing an audible voice? You're hearing an impression in your heart, and that's God talking to you? And why is he talking to you? Is he talking to anybody else? And what's he saying? You know, let's check it out. But I never have seen or heard of any of these so-called prophets and apostles who say they hear from God directly. Never had any opportunity to see anyone cross-examined. You just claim it, and that's it.
Yeah, because when you're in the Pentecostal church, like I said, you attend the Church of God, came into the organization in Spanish church mm-hmm. for 10 years. I hear that a lot that happens, and although by the guest evangelists and the same thing, they start speaking. You know, they say God mm-hmm. you know, gave them a message. Sometimes I have a feeling it's all rigged up, it's all a bunch of gossip, or they plan it all together between the mm-hmm. pastor and the guest speaker. So then they
yeah, I know, I know what they do.
Together.
Yeah, it's a cheerleading squad for their mutual heresy fest. Yeah, that's what it is. I've seen it. All right, we got to go, buddy. There's a break.
Yippee.
All right, man. God bless.
Yippee.
Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. Dave from California, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Matt.
Hi. So what do you got, man?
Yeah, so I had a question about the promises of God from the Old Testament and whether or not they actually apply to Christians now.
Okay, good question. Good issue. Okay. So which promises?
So Jeremiah 29:11 came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people often take that one out of context, misapply it. Yeah, because right. God said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. The first thing you do in context, or when interpreting something, is look at the context. What does the context say? That's what you have to look at. And the context is Israel's in exile. That's what it is. And so a prophet, Jeremiah, is speaking to them. And that's what's going on. For thus says, verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Well, who's he talking to? The Christians? No. Talking to the people in exile. The Jews. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you. Now the 70 years is due to the fact that the Israelites did not give the land rest for 480 years. And so God brought them into exile for 70 years to give the land the due rest it was supposed to have. And so anyway, it says, for 70 years have been completed in Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place, back to the land. Because Nebuchadnezzar had taken them out. Then you will call upon me, and for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. He's talking to Israel. He's not talking to the Christians. Okay. Okay. Are you there? Hello? I guess. Maybe I said something he didn't like. I don't know. But it's a common thing for people to do. Is to take a verse and just lift it from its context and say, well, now it applies to Christians. Well, does it? I mean, that's just the question. Does it or doesn't it? How would you know if it does? Well, if he's saying the plan's welfare for you, he's talking to the exiles. He's going to bring them back. So that's what it's talking about. And it's a nice verse to just recite for the sake of the Christians. And a lot of people, I've heard a lot of preachers use that. And they say, you're supposed to be prosperous. You're supposed to be wealthy and healthy. Why? Because God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And people clap, amen. It's ripped right out of context. Sometimes when I'm talking to people and they quote a verse out of the Old Testament like this, and they misapply it, I'll say, hey, do you hear that ripping sound? They what ripping sound? Well, like a verse being ripped out of context. And, I say it for fun, but it's often the case. Now, if you're going to find out if this is for the Christians, then you need to go to the New Testament and find out, does God have wonderful plans for us? Do you find that in the New Testament? That's one of the things that's always kind of bothered me. I'm going to be careful how I say this. I don't want to discourage anybody. But it's often the case that... God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. Just ask Jesus into your heart. He's got a wonderful plan. It'll be wonderful. It'll be great. I'm like, don't say that. You don't know if that's the case. You don't know if it is the case that such a person will have a wonderful life. It might be difficult because a lot of times it just is. A lot of times it just is difficult. And so it might be that God wants to bless you in financial ways. It might be that he has hardship for you. Like my wife, for example, she has one of the rarest connective tissue disorders in the world. This is no joke. And what are the odds of her having that and being married to someone like me? Man, what are the odds? So anyway, she has this problem. Now, are we going to say that God has, let's apply this to her. I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Well, it doesn't apply to her in that situation, but it might in another one. But a lot of times what people do is they say this verse, which they rip out of context, means healthy and wealthy and all of this stuff, wonderful plans for your life. And so, look, if you're going to lead someone to the Lord, which I hope you're doing, hope you're witnessing out there, but don't say, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Don't say that. You don't know. You don't know if it's a wonderful plan. What's a wonderful plan? What, three houses on the beach? What is a wonderful plan? Your idea of a wonderful plan and theirs might not be the same. And so I tell people, it's best not to say that. Just say, Jesus, he died for sinners. And you need to trust him. And he will change you. And sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's not so easy. But you need to know that He expects of you to follow Him. It's a commitment to Him, you know, as you receive Christ, you know. And that's kind of the thing, I can get into it more, of course, but that's the kind of thing that needs to be said, because it's biblical. So anyway, Jeremiah 29:11 is a commonly misapplied verse, and it's unfortunate. Let's get to Luke from Washington. Luke, welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you? So what do you got? I can't hear you. You're breaking up again. So I think when you call, remember we talked about this. You got to call. You got to get to a place where you know the reception's good. All right, because you break up a lot. All right, are you still there?
Yes.
You're breaking up. So
what is the best Bible translation? What is the best Bible?
The best Bible translation can be answered in different ways, because it depends on what the purpose is, best for a given purpose. So if you have a directly literal translation as best as possible, then you might want to go to the NASB. If you want to get something that has the overall meaning, then you might want to go to the Phillips. And so these are different translations, and so one is better than the other for different reasons, and one is not as good as the other for different reasons. So it just depends on what the reason is that you want to look and read. Okay?
So what about KJV?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, recently, I think it was yesterday and today, I told two people that if they want to do serious apologetics, to not use the King James. Because the King James just has too many problems in it. And it doesn't do proper translations in some areas, because it was done 500 years ago. And so, you know, it's a good translation. But for serious apologetics, you want something like the NASB, the ESV, the LEB, things like that. In a Greek translation, or they have literal translations of the Bible as well. That's when you really want to get down and dirty. But, you know, if you like just the these and the thous, and that's what you like, then that's a good translation for you. Hey, hold on, we got a break, okay? Hold on, buddy. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, let's get back on with Luke. Okay, Luke, welcome. You're back on. You there?
Yes. So, yes, you said that KJV, King James Version, New American Standard, NKJV, ESV, NLT. So, when I use John 3:16, in KJV and different translation, I want to get Greek or any other language, you know, et cetera, you know. So what is the best? That's what I want to know. I can get common verses that speak of the deity of Christ for John 1:1 or 14. So
there's a Bible that's a literal translation. Oh, maybe Charlie knows it. What is it? Is it the Strong's literal? I'm trying to remember. There's a translation, and what they do is just literal. And so it's very awkward in some places because of that. So I think Charlie's going to try and look it up. He'll type it in, I'll tell you. But I kind of sworn it was a Strong's literal. But and maybe it's not. But there are, you can get an interlinear also. I think that's really the good thing to do, is get an interlinear. And the interlinear will have the English above it, and then the original language typed in the original text underneath it, and then underneath that it'll have literal translation of the words in that context. Now, one of the things that I have used before is I can see it, it's the by Spiros Zotiates, I can spell the name for you if you want. He has a King James version of the Bible, and he puts numbers next to all the words, and you can look them up, and you can see what the meanings are. But I would just recommend that you get an interlinear. That's what I'd recommend you do. Okay?
So, okay, why do modern translations of the Bible have a copyright?
Say what again? What?
Why do modern translations of the Bible have a copyright?
Well, it's necessary to have a copyright. I've written stuff, and I put a copyright on it for legal protection. And so everything on Karm, for example, is copyrighted as an example. Okay, I can't tell you why they do it, but I can say why we do it here on Karm. Everything's copyrighted. And the reason is because sometimes, for example, this has really happened, where people have, one individual, for example, took articles from my site and put them on his website with his name on them. And they were Christian articles. And I contacted the guy and said, you need to stop this. And he didn't even give me credit. And he said he wrote them. So he flat out lied. And so because I have copyright stuff, I can sue him should I want to. And so what I did instead, I'll tell you what I did, but I had to get him to stop. But so copyright means I have that right to it. He stole the information, stole my article. It's not public domain. If it was public domain, then he could copy it and do what he wants with it. So copyright means he can't just take it and alter it and say it's his own. And that's what copyright really does. That's why it's so useful. So when I write books, they're copyrighted. When I write articles, they're all copyrighted. People will sometimes say, please, give me permission to use this. And we have a statement saying by fair use laws, called fair use laws, you can quote articles. You don't need permission. You can quote articles as long as you're citing where it's from and you respond to it or say that it advances your argument, things like that. So anyway, how I got this guy to stop, it's called the Young's Literal Translation. Thanks, Joanne, the YLT. And so how I got him to stop was I told him, I said, I went to archive.org, which has old websites. It's awesome. It's called the Wayback Machine. So it goes back. You can go back to Carmen. You can see the early versions of it, how archaic and ugly it was. And I proved to him. I said, here's the URLs to the articles to my website showing the date, which is before your website even came online. And I said, all I'm going to do is tell you this once. I'm going to take all these URLs. I'm going to write your service provider, because under law they're then obligated to look at this, and if you've broken copyright law, they're to take your site down. And I said, you've got 24 hours to take all my stuff down or you're going to lose your entire site. And within just a few hours it was all down because he was wrong. So it was it's a way of protecting myself as well. And if he would say, hey, can I use the article, and then we talk. Okay, and then there's ways to use articles that don't violate certain rules and laws. So anyway, that kind of stuff. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, look at this.
Thank
look
you,
at
Matt.
This. Wait, someone just put something in there. I'm gonna go check this out. Literalbible.com. I didn't even know that existed. Literalbible.com, and Literal Bible. Let's see, free downloads. Oh, that's interesting. Whatever. Hey, I'm going to check that out, literalbible.com, and I'll have to check it out to see if it's any good. read online. Let me check. Hold on. Let me check. Let's see. Where could I go? Well, that's interesting. That's biblehub.com is what it's doing. And then, so the L-I-B, that's a library. Let me try something here. Doing this live, trying to figure it out. Go to Bible Hub and see about the Literal Bible. Why does it do that? Why does it switch me to that? Interesting. I'll have to check it out. Berean Study Bible. Bible outlined. PDF. Berean. Okay, so there's a Literal Bible. New Testament. Hey, hold on one sec. Let me do this, okay? Because I'm doing it right now live.
Okay.
And,
okay.
So I'm going to just check it. I'll go to a couple of verses. I'm now opening it. So now I'm going to go to, let's say, Romans. Let's see what it does in Romans. Come on, slime ball, let's go. All right, hold on. Romans 5:18 is one of my verses I go to. Boy, Galatians. Okay, I'm hustling as fast as I can. Acts. Romans, here we go. Romans 4, Romans 5, 18. So the so then, just as through one trespass, and put it, it is, into unto condemnation to all men, so also through one act of righteousness, it is unto justification of life to live. Not bad. Not bad. Well, what am I going to do with John 3:16? Let me try this. Because, I wonder if it's going to do, the literal Greek of John 3:16, a lot of people don't know what it is. And so let me see, we'll check it, and then we'll be done here. I'll try to, okay, come get up here, come on. I'm hustling. Okay, so, do as fast as I can. I got to keep talking so there's no dead air. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing in him. That's better. That's better. It, you know, the literal translation is that all the believing one. That's what it literally says. Not that everyone believing in him. It literal Greek is all the believing one. So, okay, that's what it says. But you know, I mean, anyway. So even that's not as literal as it can be. But that's okay. All right? Interesting.
All right. One more thing. You remember that I told you about you need to come to Indian Room to have a small class?
Yes.
So I discussed with that one. Tomorrow, we're going to have a reply for the thing that they did for us, that Calvinistic or heretic. That is the room that did. And then we call out so many people. So one of the Indian administrative officer is a part of this one. So he
tomorrow
was,
doesn't work. Tomorrow doesn't work.
Okay. Okay.
Tomorrow's I talked to you about it, and I said Wednesdays and Thursday nights I'm occupied. On Wednesday I answer questions for 2 to 3 hours on Clubhouse, and then Thursdays I teach a Bible study. Okay, so those are the nights that won't work. All right. So Monday, Tuesday, or Friday. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So I will contact with Joanne. Anyway, we going to have a reply for what they did to us. So we're going to fight tomorrow. Anyway. If you didn't come, that's fine. But we're going to answer that they attack Calvinism, because this is a big issue. Because
I understand. We went over this 100 times, and I'm with you. So send me the contact information, back-channel me. If I'm available for a little bit, I can jump in, but I have to do my Q&A. And I'll be doing it tomorrow night, and you can ask them to come into the room, too. All right? And that's fine. Say, hey, yes. There's a room where it's going to be in, and come on in, answer questions. Ask questions. It's okay. I'm not going to get mad at them. All right? Okay?
They're already scared. They're already scared now.
Well, don't say they're scared and all this stuff. Just be polite and just say, here's an opportunity. If you really want to have someone who knows the topic, discuss it and defend it and ask questions. And there's an opportunity. They say no, well, then that's fine. That's just their business. Okay? Don't shame them. Don't try and make them enforce them. It's not how it works. And so, if there's another time, I can come in if they understand that issue. Okay?
One thing I can read it to you. Some of the Indian officers sent it to us. Mister, please feel free to use the earlier heading for the session, as there is no point in changing it.
Okay. We got a break. We got to go, buddy. So, back channel me this stuff. Okay? On Clubhouse. All right,
okay.
Buddy.
All right.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Hey, folks, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Hey, before we get to the next caller, I just want to let you know that we do stay on the air by your support. Would you please consider supporting us just a little bit? We ask $20 a month, if that's not too much. It's easy to do, and it's easy to cancel when you're ready. But we just ask for $20 a month, and it really does help us with the budgets and knowing how we can, just work everything. You know how that is. So if you like this show, you like me, or not me, but the ministry supporting the missionaries around the world, please consider supporting us at carm.org/donate, carm.org/donate, and all the information you need is right there. All right, let's get to Ed from Virginia. Ed, welcome. You're on the air.
Are you there, Ed? Matt, it seems to be a problem with the phone line.
Yes, they had a little bit of problem, so but we'll see how it works. See, you sound okay right now.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate whatever you can do, because this is something that's been going on for years. I'm 80 years old now, and I haven't got a handle on it. So I don't know how to get it, so I thought I'd try you, and maybe you can help me.
Sure. Sure. What do you got?
Okay. Your expertise on the phone, on the Bible, seemed like you look up the things really quick. Here we go. Several years ago, Dr. Falwell, I read an article. He said how to get started right. He wrote that book for people getting started when they get saved. And it said in there, if a person can live a worldly or wicked life, it simply means they were never born again. And made me concerned, because over the years, different things in my life. When I was 12 years old at Billy Graham in New York City with my mother and grandmother, I wanted to go forward, but I was scared and I was embarrassed with all those people, so I didn't get out of my seat. Something lifted me up out of the seat slowly. When I found myself on my feet, I had the courage, and I went on down with hundreds of people, and Billy Graham gave the closing address, and then the counselor, one of them said, come with me, and he took me and another woman. We went down the stairs under the floor to an underground passageway, and the guy told me, you wait here, I'll be back. So he took the women when the woman went off somewhere, and 2 minutes he came back. He said, you come to get saved? I said, yes. I'm 12 years old, 1954. Now, Matt, I stood there, and as best I know, because I had heard it said, Jesus said, all those that come into me, I'll no wise cast out. So I stood there, and as best I know how, trusting the Lord, I said, Jesus, either I said, save me or come in my heart. And after, the counselor simply walked away. And I stood there saying, well, how does Jesus get into your heart? And I'm saying, Lord, as best as I know, I wanted you to come in my heart. And, you know, my brain felt like it was going to physically explode, so I walked away. For the next years, 40 or 50 years, I got involved in all kinds of things. And one day at the church at Thomas Road, at nighttime, this Jewish guy named Mr. Samuelson, he was out there in the parking lot. So I know a little bit about him. I figure he's a good Christian guy. And I went over to him and I said, Samuelson, I want to ask you a question. He said, well, listen, my spirit, quote unquote, does not identify with your spirit that you're a Christian. Several years went by, and an evangelist that was visiting at a church, I came out to shake hands with him, and he says the same thing. My spirit does not identify with your spirit that you're a Christian. I said, what in the world is going on here? I said, my God, what is that all about? I got one other thing, but I want you to see if you can help me out with what I just told you.
Yeah, one thing, you just use the Lord's name in vain, and you should never say, oh my, G-O-D, unless it's in reverential respect to him. That's just a point just worth making. So let me ask you some questions, okay? And just answer them, you know, honestly, briefly, and listen, and I'll tell you something, okay? You ready?
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. So do you believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh?
Say that again.
Do you believe that Jesus is God in flesh?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did he die on the cross?
Oh, yes.
Did he rise from the dead 3 days later?
I believe.
Okay.
I trust.
Yes, he did. All right. Now, the Bible says he bore our sin in his body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24. Do you believe he bore our sin in his body on the cross?
I do.
Okay.
Without the blood, there's no shedding of sin, forgiveness.
That's right. That's right. 1 John 1:7-9. So, do you trust in what Christ did for the forgiveness of your sins, and in Him alone, and nothing else? Not your baptism, not church attendance, not being good or anything. Just what He did alone. Do you trust in Him alone?
I trust Him alone, because the others are works.
Wow. Very good. Hey, that's a very
good. Now, Matt, one other thing I'd like to say to you. Some years later, because it bothered me over all these years, this guy, Bowman, he was in the church visiting my church. And so I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I'm going to confront this guy. I want him to give me some kind of an honest answer here. So he came out in the hallway. I said, Bowman, I want to talk to you a minute. He said, yeah, about what? I said, you remember some years ago when you were at a church and I came to shake your hand and you said that your spirit does not identify with my spirit, that I'm a Christian. Now, what are you going to say about that? He said, well, whatever. And he walked away. And I'm saying, what kind of an answer is that? Mm-hmm. Well, whatever. After he told me, he said his spirit didn't identify with me, that my spirit. And then he says, maybe, well, whatever.
Maybe he wasn't saved.
Well, what is that?
Maybe he wasn't saved. Who knows? You know, don't know who he is. But look,
it did bother me. It did bother me, yeah.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I can't judge your heart, okay? But from what you said, you certainly sound like a Christian to me. Because you're not putting
Yeah, but sounding ain't good enough. I got to know in my heart. He said they worship with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Right,
well,
Matt?
Yeah, but yeah, that's true. And the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. No man can trust it. Jeremiah 17, 9.
There you go.
Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your feelings. Look, did Jesus die on the cross and rise from the dead or not? What do you say?
In 3 days, he rose, even though I didn't see it. People say, well, you didn't see it. Okay. How do you know that's true? I said, I'm trusting the Lord. He didn't lie to me. He said he loved me.
Okay, so there he goes. And you believe and trust in that sacrifice for cleanse of sin. You trust in him alone, right?
I have no other choice. He's the only one I can trust. Well, who else can I trust?
Hey, well, you're a Christian as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Matt, one other thing I want to ask you before I get off, because it's important to
sure.
me. Jesus said, and I forget what part of the scripture in the New Testament, it says, my friend, David said, my familiar friend who ate at my familiar friend, that's the first part.
Yes.
Then he ate at my table and he went to the temple to worship with me and he kicked up his heel against me. How would you answer that?
Hey, that's about Judas. That's not about you. It's a prophecy about the evil one coming into Judas who's going to work against the Messiah.
Oh.
That's not you. Okay?
Okay. I appreciate
so here's
it.
Here's what I say. Here's what I say
God
to
bless
people
you,
when
man.
They have. Here's what I say to people when they have the problem you have, is I say this, and I have to be firm with you. Stop looking at your feelings. Stop looking at what you feel. Don't do that. Look at God's word. You already believe the essentials of the faith. You can't do that unless you're regenerate. The unbelieving, the natural man, cannot receive the things of God, for they're foolishness to him. You acknowledge them and you believe them. And when I was asking you about salvation, I was a little surprised. You just jumped in and said, oh, those other things are works. I was like, wow, you're right. I was kind of shocked by that because I didn't think you were going to get that, but you did, and then you volunteered it. Look, as far as I'm concerned, from what you've told me, you know, you're a Christian. Now, I have to say,
Matt, does it say, Matt, that the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all truth, that we don't need a man to teach us?
Yeah, 1 John 2:27. You don't need anyone to teach you, but the anointing which you have received will guide you in all things.
John, yes. What? What is it?
2:27.
1
John 2:27.
First John 2:27.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad you know the words, Matt. I sure appreciate your help to me now. God bless you, man.
Okay. Now, one more thing, though. If you confess him, you're living as though he's your Lord. Doesn't mean perfection, because we can't be perfect. But you're not doing the bad things all the time and saying, I believe in one thing, and then do contrary. As long as you're not, you know, using God's grace as a means to go ahead and sin, that would be evil.
You're
if
right.
you're not doing that. Okay.
That's right.
Well, brother, don't listen to these charlatans, okay? Don't listen to these people. My spirit isn't bre-. Just stop.
It's got to be an attack from Satan. That's got to be
yes,
an attack
is.
From him.
That's right. Look, my spirit says
you,
your
Matt.
Spirit, we're the same, okay, brother? So how about that, all right?
Thank you so much for your help to me, okay? I greatly appreciate that. God bless you.
God bless you, man. Just trust.
Keep
in trusting
Jesus
in
name.
Him. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank
Amen,
you,
brother.
Sir.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Man, I like that. You know, I really do. I like that. He's trusting the Lord. That's it. So many people are worried. Well, I don't do this right. Well, you're right. You don't. But that's not what makes you saved or not saved. It's your faith in Christ. Do you or do you not trust in Jesus as your Savior? Do you put your faith and your hope in Him? That's what you have to do. And if you do, that's good enough. Because God grants that you have faith, Philippians 1:29, and that faith that He grants to you is in Jesus, John 6:29. Is the faith that God grants to you that's in Christ sufficient to save you? Yes, it is. So rest in His work, and His work in you, and His work on the cross, and rest in Him. And don't worry about it. Then try and live a godly life. And when you fail, you keep going back to the cross and say, here I am again, my Lord and my Savior. And you keep going for the rest of your life. That's what happens. Let's get to Grant from Utah. Grant, welcome. You're on the air.
How you doing, Mr. Slick?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
I think it was in Isaiah talking about God hates those who do violence.
Psalm 5:5 and Psalm 11:5, particularly Psalm 11:5. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. The one who loves violence, his soul hates. That's Psalm 11:5. Okay.
Psalm 11:5. Can you? Somebody was saying that I heard a couple weeks ago that they said that Isaiah made a mistake writing that, saying that it's supposed to say.
So Isaiah made a mistake. I just love that. And I mean, when someone says to me, you know, so-and-so made a mistake writing that in the Bible, I go, really? How do you know that? How do you know? What's it supposed to be? And how do you know it's a mistake? How do you, show me how, you know, oh, it's a mistake. Well, okay. Right. Where's the official thing that to show it? It's just laughable. It is. It's laughable.
I know. And
he made a mistake.
He said that it's a, he said it was supposed to say sin. God hates those who do sin.
Well, he's just a humanist. He's got humanism, I should say. It's a form of Christian humanism in that it's secular, Christian secular humanism kind of woven in together. I got to come up with a new term because Christian humanism is different. But he's just assuming that there's a certain theological perspective that just God just loves everybody. That's just how it is. Because he's been taught the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown. And so I just say, no. You know, Psalm 5:5, the boastful shall not stand in your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. No, he loves everybody. Right. Then why does Psalm 5:5, 11:5 say this? And then you can go to Romans 9. Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. And it wasn't because of anything good or bad in him. No, this shocks people. Yeah, it shocks them.
Yeah. We're out of time, brother. Awesome, Bible study
you
were talking about.
Hey, man, we're out of time. There's the music. I apologize. Call back tomorrow. We can talk some more about this, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, we need to teach what the Bible says, not what people want it to say. All right, man. God bless.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, there's the music. Didn't mean to cut them off, but we have to. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.